This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. When donations pour in after a big tragedy, some really uncomfortable questions come up, like who should receive the most money? What does it mean to be a victim? And what expenses should be covered? We're seeing this after the Aurora movie theater shooting. There's a little under $5.5 million to distribute, and the process has been deeply frustrating for victims and their families. So late last week, the governor brought in a man who spent his career answering these very difficult questions. Kenneth Feinberg agreed to serve as special master to the Aurora Victim Relief Fund. He did similar work after the attacks of 9/11, the shootings at Virginia Tech, and the BP oil spill. Feinberg joins us now from Washington, D.C. Kenneth, thank you so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
You said at a press conference last Friday, announcing your participation, that this kind of work is not rocket science, and yet I think so many of us would be daunted by a task like this. Why isn't this rocket science?
Because the issue really involves designing and administering a program to pay innocent victims. You don't need a degree in physics or engineering. Maybe a degree in divinity would help. But the fact of the matter is, this is something that I think millions of Americans could do. I'm asked to do it by the governor of Colorado, so I do it. But I think that this is something that is perfectly within others' capabilities.
Well, I understand you heard from families even before the governor asked you to participate?
Yes, I received telephone inquiries and suggestions from three or four families or family members. Urging me to get involved, urging me to play a role. And I gave them some advice about what had worked in the past at Virginia Tech, 9/11, BP, Agent Orange, and told them that no two programs are alike.
They were clearly familiar with your history. And I wonder what problems they talked to you about.
Who's eligible? Who should be subject to compensation? How much compensation? How quickly can it be delivered? Should there be restrictions on the money? These are the type of very difficult, complex questions that they posed to me based on my work in the past.
Well, I think the question of who should be compensated is a critical one. Let's explore that for a little bit. How do you decide the definition of victim? I mean, certainly there are the families of the people who died. There are survivors who were shot. And then there's a much larger group of people traumatized by the event. So that could be people who were in that theater, people who were in the movie house in general, or it could be a veteran out in Aurora who was re-traumatized by hearing this on the news.
That's right. Those are issues of eligibility, driven partly by what policymakers say the policy is when you're brought in. Don't forget, with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund, Congress said, do not pay mental trauma. You have to have a physical injury. Secondly, how much money is there to distribute? It doesn't make much sense to give everybody $1.60. You have to look at the amount of money that's available, how many eligible victims there are who died, who were physically injured, who were mentally victims of mental trauma, and then say to yourself, as a practical matter, this is all there is. There isn't any more. How can we best have an impact on the most seriously injured? And that really drives all of this.
Has it been decided in the case of the Aurora victims if people who suffered mental anguish ought to be compensated?
No, I don't think it has. So I think we'll move to the next question, which is, based on the amount of money that's available and the number of physically injured, killed, and mentally traumatized, is there enough money to go around to make a broader eligibility, a more liberal eligibility criteria, meaningful? If there's not enough money to go around, then you've got to focus on the dead, the families of the dead, and those physically injured, and make some very tough, Solomonic decisions about should everybody get the same amount as in Virginia Tech, or in 9/11, do you give everybody a different amount? And how do you determine seriousness of physical injury? Do you want medical records to be examined? Or is there a simpler, quicker, more efficient way to decide seriousness of injury? Who gets the money? This is a problem in many of these compensation programs. It's one thing to say that the family of the dead will receive a check. Well, which family member? Mr. Feinberg, I'm the brother of the victim. He hated his sister. Make sure I get all the money. Mr. Feinberg, I was the spouse of the victim. We were separated. But I'm still his spouse, so treat me like we're still together as a happily married couple. Mr. Feinberg, I'm the fiancé of the victim. We were going to get married 2 days after Aurora. Treat me like a spouse. I mean, it's not only who's eligible as a victim. You must deal with this thorny family problem, which often comes up. Well, which one of the competing family members can file the claim or receive the compensation?
How have you worked that out?
Normally, I sit down with the competing family members and work out a consensual resolution of the distribution. But if I can't, if the family is at odds with one another, I simply take the money, deposit it in the local courthouse, in the local court registry, and I say to those family members, go right ahead, go down to court and fight it out. But the administrator of these funds cannot waste time trying to referee between competing family members.
When you got those calls from family members, again, this is before the governor asked for your help, you talked about their concerns over how quickly the money was being dispensed. Talk to me about balancing short-term versus long-term needs. So is it that funds like the one for the Aurora shooting victims has a year life, a 10-year life?
Of course not. There's not enough money. This doesn't have a 10-year life. This doesn't have a 1-year life. This is a few weeks or a few months' life. Get the money out the door without restriction and let each eligible claimant decide for herself or himself how the money should be spent. This is not money that is owned by the state or by a foundation or by Ken Feinberg. This is money that is charitable, that is submitted to help victims. I've learned over the years, don't attempt to discern what is best for victims. Victims will decide for themselves how best to use whatever available funds will be presented to them.
By the same token, these are folks who are traumatized by a terrible event. I don't know. Are they necessarily in the state of mind to be making the most rational, smart decisions moving forward?
I've learned over the years, do not attempt to put yourself in the shoes of these folks. You say these folks are traumatized. I don't know what that means. Are they? I've found over the years that victims who suffer a sudden, horrible loss very often brace themselves and are more reasonable and more cogent and more able to reinforce their resolve to make right decisions than you might think. And I think it's a mistake if an administrator tries to second guess or do what's only best for the victims. I'll never forget meeting with a man when I was doing the 9/11 fund. A 75-year-old man came to see me. He had lost 2 children in the terrorist attacks in the Pentagon. And I listened to him for a few minutes and I said, Mr. Jones, this is just so tragic. I know how you feel. Now that was a summa cum laude blunder. This man looked at me. He said, Mr. Feinberg, you have a very difficult job. I don't envy you. But listen carefully. Don't ever tell me that you know how I feel. I lost my two children. You have no idea how I feel. And I urge you, when you meet with victims and their families, don't tell them that you know how they feel. Well, I learned my lesson there, and I will never, ever say something like that again.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and our guest is Kenneth Feinberg. After some of this country's biggest tragedies, he has helped distribute money to victims. The attacks of 9/11, the BP oil spill, the shootings at Virginia Tech. Well, Governor John Hickenlooper asked Feinberg to serve as special master to the Aurora Victim Relief Fund. That's after victims and families expressed deep frustration with the process of distributing money. Is part of your job to develop something as specific as a scoring system, writing down on paper attributes, death, dismemberment such that someone can't work, and just start to check boxes and do that kind of almost arithmetic?
Yes, but let me just say that type of arithmetic is done every single day by courts and juries throughout Colorado and the rest of the country. That's just the way the system, our legal system, works. When you say a checklist, I'm not sure there's much of a checklist in Aurora. Death is death. What checklist is there? Physical injury, how long were you hospitalized? That's a pretty good indication of seriousness of injury. Were you in the hospital overnight, outpatient, or are you still in the hospital? And I think that helps guide you in deciding how to quickly and efficiently distribute the compensation.
Inherently in this kind of work, you might be the subject of frustration and anger, criticism. I do want to know, though, if you think you've made a mistake in this kind of work in the past.
Yes, in the BP oil spill fund, I received over 1 million claims from 50 states. I think in the BP Gulf of Mexico oil spill, I think I got something like 80 claims from Colorado. But the mistake I made there was I went down to the Gulf and overpromised. I promised the victims of the spill that they'd be receiving checks within 2 days or a week. Well, it turned out they had to wait a lot longer than 2 days or a week because the claims they filed were conspicuously without documentation, without proof, without any evidence that they had suffered as a result of the spill. So very often I had to tell them, you give me more than what you've given me so far. Well, you promised within 2 days. You promised within a week. You're a liar. And, I mean, for a while, that really set the program back. It wasn't until we distributed about $2.5 billion in 90 days that people started to recognize the bona fides of the program, despite my false start by making those promises.
You've laid out in this interview really concrete questions that you can ask to help figure out who should get money and how much. And I wonder if you've ever thought of almost developing a kit, something you could send in the wake of a disaster and say, this is a pretty darn good method of figuring this out.
First of all, you hope that there won't be tragedies that call for these programs, but you know there will be. Secondly, as I've said publicly and privately, I'm very wary of these programs, W-A-R-Y. These programs compensate just certain people who are the victims of a curveball. Well, what about everybody else? Bad things happen to good people every day in the United States, and you don't have an Aurora fund or a 9/11 fund or a BP oil spill fund. There was no fund for the victims of Oklahoma City or of Katrina. The idea that you're going to set up these programs for very special people only in very special situations, there's no kit, there's no packet, there's no rules. You have to deal with them as they come. But I'm very, very skeptical about the wisdom of doing this too often, because there are plenty of people in this country who suffer horrible loss, and there isn't a fund waiting for them to cut checks.
Does this work wear on you?
Yes. I never put it that way, but yes, it wears on you. It is stressful. It is all-consuming. And it is, there's a lot of heartache involved.
Does the heartache come from the pain of the tragedy or the disaster itself? Or does the heartache come from the dealings in its wake?
Oh, I think the heartache comes from dealing with the individual claimants and reviewing their files and their medical information. And you learn a little bit about most of the victims and how their lives were cut short or permanently altered by physical injury. And unless you have a heart of stone, you're going to be shaking a little bit and chilled by all of this.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kenneth Feinberg is special master to the Aurora Victim Relief Fund. He's doing the work pro bono. Feinberg has written a book about his career called What is Life Worth?